happened a little sooner. I haven't finished chewing my cookie.
I did it. I was like, I'm just going to go ahead and do it.
I don't want to stop eating these. Like, I don't know. Tate's tiny cookies.
I'm moving my mic. Right
whoa,
now.
Good for you. See, look, I was talking so they know it's not me. These Tate's tiny cookies, I don't hate them. I got to say, I think they're my favorite incarnation of Tate's. Are you settled now?
Yeah, I'm settling in.
Look, everybody, again, I almost said home time. It's underground
espionage.
Well, we're setting the new president because today, you know, we've been through a lot. It's been quite a week.
It's been a bit of a wonky week. Today is Saturday. Mm-hmm. This will be posted mere minutes after we finish recording.
So what day? Thursday, I suddenly developed, I don't know if it was like food poisoning or if it was the flu.
Well, we suddenly developed it. In the same
you would
location.
Drop, I know. You would drop me off somewhere and I was like, I got to go right now. I'm going to start puking soon. And I did. I started puking. And it was that type of urgent puke where you want to lay on the floor. You know what I mean? Like all I wanted to do was lay on the cold, cold floor. And I did lay on the floor and nobody liked to see that. Nobody likes to see me laying on the cold, cold floor. So they're like, can you sit up? Can we put you somewhere? Can we get you a moment? And I'm like, no, my husband's coming to pick me up.
Well, what's crazy is that at the same moment, unbeknownst to me, I got insanely dizzy.
Yeah.
And I was slightly nauseated, but I was more dizzy than nauseated.
Well, I was dizzy too, but it manifested in you know.
So I got no, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like I got the more dizzy, you got the more you know. So I got the text to pick you up, but I didn't want to let in that I was also dizzy because I wanted to pick you up. I didn't want you taking a lift and puking in the lift.
No, and that's why I was too reluctant. So when I called you, you didn't answer, and I was like,
I was in the shower,
and I thought you were maybe on the phone. So then I texted you, and then I was like, maybe he doesn't have his phone near him because that's you. Or you wanted to walk without your phone.
No, I would never do that. I don't, not if you're not, if we're together, then I will have my phone put away. But actually these days, not so much.
Yeah.
For various reasons. But no, that is the thing is I do wish that you could set an automatic reply, like an email's on text.
Yeah.
So if you were, and it would only go to you, like it wouldn't go to like, I'm in the shower. Like, if I don't answer.
I mean, you could do that. It's easy, but it would just be silly.
Can you?
Yeah, you do an out and off, out of office messenger.
Yeah, not on text, though.
Out of office message.
I don't think
on text?
That's what I meant.
But they have that thing where it's like, whoops, I'm driving.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess figure it out. But anyway, so I was like, dude, this is crazy. Tara's sick. Like, what did we eat? And the other weird thing is that we didn't eat the same thing the night before
not
or
even at dinner.
Breakfast.
You had one bite of the chicken I was eating.
Yeah, we had different dinners and different breakfasts, so it was very strange. So we get home, and dude, I made it home by the skin of my teeth.
Yeah.
I was holding it together to not, like, basically, like, drive off the road.
We crawled into the apartment and basically crawled into bed.
It was crazy.
And it, what was it, like, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe?
Yeah, and I couldn't stand
maybe
up.
Maybe 1 o'clock. No, it was, like, 1 o'clock. I don't know. It was somewhere in that
neighborhood.
I literally, like,
anytime
o'clock.
I tried to stand up, I was like, I'm
going
to fall.
Yeah.
I can't describe how nuts this was. And let's also be clear, because this will come into play with where we're at today, we didn't drink the night before either, so it was not a hangover.
No, it wasn't a hangover
now,
anything.
Today's a different story.
Now that's a different story. Today's edition
today.
Is hangover. But, I mean, I don't really feel hungover today.
I've come out of it.
But
I mean,
think it's because, well, here's why, everybody. Like, we're going to sound like complete, like, wild degenerates right now. But, so here's the thing. So, I was 2 days of just like food. Not I didn't eat everything. I drank like every drop of water. I puked it up like everything. And again, like I didn't realize until I was talking to my lady friend, and she was like, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry." This was while you were recovering earlier today, Mike.
Yeah.
She was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Like puking's the worst. Like I hate it." And I was like, "No, I would prefer that over all sicknesses. Like I'd rather have fever puking than a cold or a cough."
Yeah, because it feels like you've accomplished something.
Well, I can handle it more. Like, I feel like a cold or a cough, I feel like I'm going to die. Like, I feel like if I'm not looking alive, I'm going to stop breathing and I'm going to die. Like, the puking and anything else, like fever, all these other unseemly things, like, those, I don't feel like I'm going to die. I feel like I'm going to live. Like, I might be uncomfortable, and it usually lasts for at most 2 days, whereas a cold or cough for me could last a month. You know what I mean? Yeah, it just, like, ruins my whole fucking life. So it's like, you know, when I realized we both were kind of, I was like, oh, thank God, I just have, like, the flu. So please don't let this turn into a cold. So I was just mostly relieved. It was like, we can sleep this shit off. So we got into bed, turned the lights out for a couple hours, then kind of roused about and then just laid in bed and watched. What do we want? Like, Knots Landing all day. I don't know.
So we definitely, but we were still a little wonky yesterday being Valentine's Day.
Oh, and I was still puking all morning. And then by the afternoon, I was like holding down water. So then we decided it was a great time to drink a shitload of wine.
Well, so.
To celebrate being better.
Well, you know, also we were excited. We'll point you to the Red Vein Blades.
Oh,
tape
yeah.
Release.
We were excited about Red Vein Blades.
We were excited about that. And, yeah. And just we were
feeling the spirit.
Feeling it. And then we had also just gotten a couple packages, a couple hospital packages. So we were pulling out the tapes. We were listening to tapes. We watched Tenement, which we'll be discussing later. So we were in a very good mood.
Jolly as hell.
And with that, you would think that you guys were sick the day before, maybe like take it easy.
I was sick earlier that day.
And we got caught up in the, we were feeling good. We're like, it's Valentine's Day.
It felt terrific.
We're home. And here's the thing is I feel like, I don't know if you feel the same. The thing with home drinking.
Yeah.
You know, there's people who are like, I don't drink at home. And
that's
probably
wisdom.
Smart.
It's wisdom.
Because
you can't gauge it.
Yeah, and you're not wait. Like, when you're out, you have to wait for the bartender. Yeah. You have to, like,
you have to manage,
like, oh, do I want to spend another X amount of money? When you're here, you don't have to wait for
anything. You have to keep your wits about you because you have to get home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But when you're already home and you're just the two of us, we're like, who cares?
We were, like, careening out of control with joy. We had so much fun after watching Tenement, and then after Red Vein Blades happened, and we were listening to all these hospital releases, getting all inspired. Then we were like, "Fuck it, let's watch Romeo and Juliet 1996."
We did watch 1996,
and it was fantastic.
It is
and
amazing.
Then it's fucking great. So then, that's a maniac's move, right? Like, so already, if you are drinking wine and watching Romeo and Juliet 1996.
And you're just, like, feeling it.
And you just watch Tenement, which is, like, scummy and violent and beautiful. You have nowhere to go but to the moon after that. So then we do the classic DJ move.
Yeah, so then it's sort of like we've signed the pact that, okay, we're doing this tonight.
This is like a suicide pact
We signed a suicide pact. And what we do is we do our YouTube DJ for each other where... Yeah. One of us picks a video, but the other person can't look.
Yes.
Excuse me. The other person can't look.
No.
And so I pick a video, Tara goes on, and then it's Tara's turn, and then we just volley back and forth. And
we generally just scream along.
What would be smart would be like, what would be smart is if we made a rule that when we get into that zone, we are done drinking.
Oh, yeah, because if we're in that zone, that means we're there.
And then we get
smart, Mike.
Yes, because then we
that
get
is
into
smart.
The...
That would be a wisdom.
Then we get into the zone of if one of us stops drinking, then someone's going to end the night and we
and
don't want
the
gonna
night
all
to all stop, and then we won't have any fun ever again in our lifetime.
Yeah.
Well, but I did make the weakest drinks possible.
I will say I did, too.
Yeah, I put like a half a tequila shot.
But
in
I also
in the
I,
orange juice
I, and
bubbly
I'm also
water.
Not one of those like mixing. You're like, oh, if you mix alcohol,
I don't care about that.
I might have because I had like a lot of different stuff.
You had
night.
A lot of different stuff, but I think it was more the quantity. My whole thing is like quality wins. Like if it doesn't matter if it's tequila or vodka or whatever, as long as it's
normally
good,
we don't
it won't
normally
destroy
I don't,
you
we don't have or normally I don't go for tequila, but we just happen to have
someone
you,
gave
get,
me a bottle
we were
of tequila.
Gifted a bottle so we had
somebody
it here.
Gave me a bottle of Fortaleza and they kept saying like you can't mix it, you drink it straight, and so
hell no.
But the thing is, like, I don't drink straight tequila. Who drinks straight tequila? No. It's what I don't do shots. It's like you can see
as
from as
last
this
week,
story is progressing,
you
seeing,
see why.
You see why, because we're just like, yeah, it was just, I don't know, I would die. And so after having this bottle of Fortaleza forever, I was just like, fuck it, we're mixing it, because it's just not, it's a Blanco. Like, if it were Reposado or Añejo, I could see where they, like, drink it straight, but it's Blanco. It's not like a drinking straight thing for me, you know what I mean?
So I'm sure, so you know, the plot Topo line Chico. Of our, I'm sure our neighbors, you know, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure they had a great time last night.
But at the same time, and this is the.
It was early,
this
though.
Is the time where I do put my phone away, because I don't want to be texting. No. Like, you know what I mean?
Cannot interact.
Or, like, ordering.
No, posting, interacting.
Yeah. Or ordering can be the dangerous one. Like,
buying things.
Yeah, I'll just, whatever, it's fine. Like, who cares? If I don't order, if I order it now, then I wake up and then I order it.
Yeah.
So
I did order a bunch of perfume samples.
Nice. Well, that's fine. I felt that it was relatively early, though. I don't know, but I definitely
nobody knows.
Felt it today. I'm definitely on the other side. I mean, it's still semi lingering, but it's not that bad. It's actually in the, you know where it is, and it's always one of my favorite dual action titles, Hungover in Peace.
It's sort of
like that, like, nice, like, you're just sort of a little bit out of it.
Yeah.
Now, I love that anyone who listens to us who doesn't drink are just like, why? Yeah, like, this is why I don't
problem?
Do it.
What is your problem?
But you know what?
What's your problem,
we had a
people?
Great time.
Yeah.
I have no regrets.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we
and
we
I got through
thing.
It pretty quick. I've had days where it takes much longer. I got through this one pretty quick.
I remember the whole night, and that's fantastic.
I remember the whole night, too.
But I think that, you would think that it would have been really bad, given that I had the flu earlier in the day. But I don't know.
So moral,
maybe my immune system was ready to knock things out.
Yeah. Moral of the story is I'm drinking a lot of water today.
It's like I am so thirsty. There's no amount of water could put a dent in the thirst that
I'm
feel.
I'm really thirsty.
And then the thing that I came away with, too, is that live footage from the Chameleons was fantastic.
We watched live Chameleons. We watched a lot of live New York Dolls with David Johansen, obviously.
What a goddamn man.
You know,
like,
reports coming out that he's not doing well, so we wanted a tribute to New York Dolls. Yeah. We went all over the map.
We watched early Aerosmith.
Yes.
We went everywhere. Like, yes. We don't
that's
need
the, that's what you do is like, the, and that's what we do.
Yeah.
So we trust the other. It's very rare that you have to be like, actually.
Not right now. I don't feel like that.
I would say I can't even think of one that we do that at.
No, but you know, I had never seen
the trust the
I think
person.
I put on the live Chameleons and I had never seen it. But that's
why. I hadn't
seen
that footage, yeah.
No, and I hadn't seen that either, and I was really interesting. I honestly didn't even know what they look like. Some skinny.
They're kind of are nondescript looking, which is also kind of cool. Chameleons.
Yeah, they're chameleons. I mean, they could be, but they got some cheekbones. Like, they're some thin motherfuckers.
Amazing band.
Yeah, they really
amazing
are.
Band. So that's the story of our week, as among other things.
You know, I mean, like, it's been really, it's been a harrowing roller coaster full of joy, full of confusion. Like, I still don't know why the fuck
we have no idea why we got sick.
I'm assuming it was the flu.
But then why was I dizzy and not that nauseated?
Or it was that chicken that you had a bite of, and it just full-blown had, like, I've had salmonella poisoning, like, straight-up salmonella poisoning, and I know how I got it, and I had it, and it diagnosed it was salmonella poisoning, and it follows a specific pattern, and this kind of felt like that salmonella poisoning that I had.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? We actually will never know.
And now I'm afraid to eat anything that's in our refrigerator. Like, I truly am going to throw it all away, because I just don't know if it was food poisoning or if it was something else, but I don't want that to happen again. As much as I prefer it to a cold, it's not my type of diet. You know what I mean?
I prefer it to a hangover, because you don't feel like, look, if a hangover is your fault. But with a hangover, it also means you had a really good time. So
I mean, I guess it depends.
Well, it doesn't necessarily mean that, but
it
generally
depends
means
on whether
or
not you had something to do the next day. Like, I did feel.
We did have to do this.
I did have
to.
We're late.
I would have liked to have maybe put this
but
up earlier.
But I had things to do when I got sick, and I was doing things with other people, and I felt like they thought I was hungover, and I was trying to express to them, I couldn't
there
be
is
hungover.
That thing where, people are like, right.
And then somebody asked
me
weren't. If I was pregnant, and then I had to go. And it's always such a bummer when people do that. They're like, could you be pregnant? And I have to be like, no. And they're like, you sure? And I have to be like, I don't have a uterus. And then it bums everybody out. Like, any time they ask me about something and I mention any, like, health problem or anything, it just, it's like talking about crypto. It's just like a fucking turd in the middle of the room. Yeah, nobody wants to hear it.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to talk about it. They're just like, everybody's bummed out. They hope you won't continue to talk about it. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know.
And you know what? One, you wonderful people who are here with us today, if you have a medical condition and you want to discuss it with me, I would love that. Tara, I love when people discuss medical conditions. If you want to talk about your theories about your medical condition, your medication, your experience with doctors at hospitals, any of that shit, oh, I live for it. I love it.
You know, I always, I do, I've, we've mentioned it before, but, you know, someday we should actually tell the entire story of why you don't have a uterus.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
we never did. And it happened during Noise Extra, and we never mentioned it when it was happening. We just recorded.
Yeah.
We continued to record. So someday we'll give that full story.
Yeah. I mean, I find that, and this, again, much like my dear friend who's also going through something medically now, was shocked that I prefer to have intense vomiting over a cold. You know, I also find that if I pretend nothing's wrong and just keep going,
it
distracts me enough that I can deal with whatever is happening. Yes. And I don't think that's true. I think some people deal with it by doing things surrounding their illness that make them feel like they're combating their illness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like everybody has their own way of coping. We've all got our copes about everything in life.
Yeah. For us, a lot of times we try to set it aside, at least while we're working on something.
Yeah,
just
my
to,
cope is to do something like if I can paint
separate
or make
from
something.
It.
Like when I had really intense pneumonia where I coughed so hard that I broke my ribs.
Yeah.
I made stuffed animals because it's something I could do seated, and I could like just sit there quietly and hug a pillow and make little stuffed animals because it gave me something to distract me.
Well, I'll tell you what,
creating helps.
I'm glad we can do this podcast seated today, because if we had to do it while jogging or like gray climbing, has everyone seen this?
Oh my God. What if gray climbing rocks? He sent that picture this morning. We haven't told him what we're going through yet. When we will
he doesn't need to listen to it.
He's been so healthy and stuff.
Yeah,
I don't want to tell him. I don't want to be like, look at you running around climbing up some rocks and being all healthy. I don't want to be like, I'm so fucking hungover.
Yeah.
He's didn't you just have the flu? And I'm like, yeah. It's terrible.
We're confessing.
He doesn't need to hear it anyway.
We're confessing here for the listeners, and if he chooses to listen, then
he can find out this way.
I prefer the, as I always say, I prefer the one-sided conversation. I don't need to hear it back. Yeah, we should not have done it. Yes, we know.
I know. But it's like, but I think that maybe if you know us, you know that's like something where we have, I think, I always want to broaden it and be like, I think everybody has their thing, but maybe they don't. Maybe everybody doesn't have their thing. But Mike, you and I sometimes like to get a little out of control.
Look.
In a certain way that we feel comfortable getting out of control. You know, everybody has a different gauge of what their out of control is. Just like when we went to the Battle Ruins show and I was like,
yes,
my neck hurts. I'm going to stand in the back.
That was
fine. I'm going to stand in the back. I'm just going to watch. I slept on it weird. And then instead we end up right at the front of the stage. You're stage diving and I'm headbanging all night. Yes. I don't know. It's like sometimes, and that was so much fun. Were we a little wrecked the next day?
Yeah, that one.
Not as bad as today.
But
it was at a bangover.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a hangover, but a bangover.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I think of it as like sacrifice. Like, you know, you're going to sacrifice a little bit of your next day for the fun that you had the night before it happens.
Look.
We can bring that back to Tenement pretty damn easily.
But I think we learned our lesson, Tara. Don't you? I don't think
I made a lot of poor decisions last night, I think I learned my lesson this time.
Just maybe should have put the... We should acknowledge that we already have had some beverages. We can let those ride while we watch the videos.
But I think the lesson is have more bubbly water in the house.
And fake yourself out.
Bubbly water saves us. Because the bubbly water, you drink it, you put some bitters in it, and you think you're having a drink, you fake yourself out. More bubbly water in the house. I would say more orange juice, but that's not good because orange juice is a great mixer.
Exactly.
The orange juice fucked this up, I think.
100%. Anyway, if I had not gotten the orange juice.
I know, but I wanted orange
juice. We wouldn't have had.
Because I was sick, but if you had gotten a small orange juice, we wouldn't have been able to keep like being insane.
I know.
My God.
Oh, I thought of that.
Well, that's why we shouldn't keep orange juice. That's why we. You know what? No. You know what? No lessons learned. I had a great time. Who cares?
Yeah, definitely learned
my
zero
lesson
lessons.
My lesson learned was Chameleons Live.
It is awesome.
Sick. There's some live performances that I will always stand by.
Yeah. So, no, I've learned zero lessons, and I'm happy for it.
Stoked on my lessons. Well.
Also stoked on the movie Tenement, Game of Survival.
Now,
Terror.
Chaco didn't need to learn any lessons in Tenement because... You can't teach a man like that. You know what I mean?
Tara, did you enjoy this gritty, raw, ripped open movie?
It's like when you first start watching it, you're like, oh, this is grim. And it's only going to get more grim. And that's true. And that's absolutely the case. It's one of those lovely films where, I mean, it does some things that I think are unique to itself. But... I think violent and grim are really good descriptions.
It is a very violent movie directed by Roberta Finlay, who directed many porn movies. Mm-hmm. And in the 80s, she also directed The Oracle, which we just fell in love with last year. And because of that, and I was telling a few people how much we like The Oracle, they're like, oh, you got to see Tenement. So we had never seen it.
Yeah.
It was also written by, partially the screenplay was by, Rick Marks, who also helped write Roommates, which we mentioned last week. And we're just
so
going to go ahead and say right now, we're doing Roommates next week. We're going to do the through line.
Oh, that soon. Okay, good.
So we're going to do Roommates next week. Fantastic, fantastic 80s
I'm
porn
gush
movie. Really excited.
It.
So
verbally.
We were tipped off to watch Tenement. I gave it the old base coat. And I was like, oh, we're definitely doing an episode for Underground Espionage because we already had the idea.
If you guys don't know what base coat means, it means one of us watches it first to see if it's any good.
Or just like or to like get the vibe of it.
Yeah, catch an understanding because, you know, we watch things with varying degrees of plot, right? Or varying degrees of, I'm not going to say quality, a lot of fantastic things. Just sometimes it's hard to understand what the hell is going on.
Sure.
Until you watch it one time, then you go back and you're like, okay,
I see
what they were trying to say
here. Wait
till
we cover a wave movie, and if you've heard us talk about that before, you know we've done a handful. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was really excited to show this to you, and I was excited I'd seen it because I like having seen something. I mean, it's fun to also watch things new, fresh together, but there is something fun about showing somebody that thing. You're like, oh, I know you're gonna like this.
Yeah.
And I knew that you would get into the gritty atmosphere and the just the total chaos and violence of it.
Oh, me? Yeah. I mean, yes. And even there's no like redemptive arc in it. You know what I mean? Like there's no really getting into like a deeper psychological aspect. Like the film is about a they call it a tenement. But again, like where's Roberta Finlay from?
From basically this type of.
Yeah.
She basically grew up in this type of building and said the basement, there was like people living in and out of the basement. It was a rat infested in the Bronx.
Is she from the U.S.? Okay, from the Bronx.
Yeah, yeah. And this is
so
the Bronx.
This is like one of.
So she's like, this is basically where I grew up.
But the people, like, okay, the most funky accents ever. Like, you do get the feeling that half of the actors have no clue what they're saying. Kind of like Stefania Estelle. Do you know what I mean, Mike?
I was trying to get
a gauge on if there was, like, an Italian crew.
No.
Or it's
full,
all
full American
crew.
Yeah, full American.
So, the Tenement, essentially the plot of Tenement is there is a house that they call a tenement house. It's like five floors high, and a bunch of families live there, and they're being terrorized by a street gang that moves into the bottom floor and is kind of running operations from there. One shitty dude who lives in the building called the police on them, and he's kind of like a snarky Weasley guy who is irredeemable because he likes to rat people out and then takes no ownership of it. Absolute like stooly weasel.
Rojas. Yeah. And again, he's not wrong. You do want these people out of there, but the way he goes about dealing with it is the worst way possible.
It's the worst way possible. Just like calling the police. He's not taking responsibility. They come back. He doesn't tell anybody that they come back. He's just a little weasel, right? So then once he has the gang arrested and the arrest does not stick because they got nothing on him. They let him go, and then the gang proceeds to take revenge for the inconvenience of being locked up for the afternoon. And what is that revenge, Mike?
Well, the game of survival
and vendetta.
It is, and this the when I knew I loved this movie,
like, it's just that simple.
Is the scene where the gang leader Chaco is? They're all smoking. They talk about Chaco's going to smoke PCP, so they're smoking a joint. But I'm assuming it's that type of '80s joint that's laced with PCP because they're all acting like crazed.
Because as soon as they get out of jail, so they get released from jail and they go out into the street and they see this guy, and the guy he's like. Oh, I wrote it down somewhere, but I don't know. Oh, they're buying joints. He's like, how many joints you got? And they're all looking around like those seediest people around are getting joints. But then what they do talk about after that is flying on angel dust. So you get this idea that they have laced these joints with angel dust.
And Chaco stands up. They're in this abandoned lot, which they said they did find like actual body parts like in the lot.
Jesus.
And he's just like, my head is full of blood.
Here, I wrote it down. Oh, here, you can. You want to do the read? Are you going to do a read right at the top?
There it is. Chaco going to fly in angel dust. My head is full of blood. I'm going to get my building back. We're going to cut them up, slice them up, shoot them up. And just this scene is just like
the way he says it, though, is so chilling.
Yeah,
I
wasn't going to do it.
I thought you were going to do a really cool read. I thought you were. He's like, my head is full of blood. Like, he does it really
slow. Amazing, yeah.
I'm going to get my building back. We're going to cut them up, slice them up, shoot them up.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Wasn't that a great read?
Great,
thank you so much.
And so then you're like, set, like, oh, this is going to get brutal.
Yeah, and then it proceeds to get brutal. Like, for example, the first victim, as they get to the building, like, they're going to make it slow, right? So they go to the building. They had boarded up the basement. They break back in. They get all their weapons. And who lives on the first floor? This kindly blind man and his seeing eye dog who likes to repair the toys of children in the building. Who's going to get it first, Mike? That dog is going to get it first. And Dude. It is so insane because they kind of the guy goes upstairs to like check on a little boy. And then he comes back down and he's blind. But he can't find his dog, and he walks out, and he feels his dog, and the dog has been hung and dismembered and covered in blood in the hallway.
And the guy who does it is probably my other favorite gang member next to Chaco. He's covered in that dog blood the entire movie. The movie takes place just over the one night, and they keep demarking what time it is. So it all is happening in this small, you know, handful of hours.
I think his name is Hector.
It's possible.
I'm pretty sure it's Hector. I'm going to call him Hector, and if his name's not Hector, then if I say Hector, everybody now knows who I'm talking about. Because that is like the right-hand man. He is the most violent of the gang members. He likes to slice people up. He's prone to violence. And even Chula.
The chick.
And it's like you wonder why she sticks around with this gang. Like at the
she
beginning,
she likes it too because she's like a violent.
Well, what I kept saying is like they treat her like shit. All the other
but she
guys
likes
are
it.
Throwing around. No, but what she really likes is when they kill people.
Yeah.
They rub blood on her tits and then they fuck.
She loves it.
I mean, that's what Chaco likes to do, right? We generally don't swear like this. I wasn't even thinking about it. Is that okay? I apologize. I mean, I think for this situation, that's the best way to explain
it's
it.
It's more of a loose rule. Obviously,
yeah. I don't really know another way. I'm not going to be like he puts blood on her breasts and then they make love.
Don't
I mean, that sounds stupid.
Yeah.
So
no,
I get it. It smears. Yeah, they kind of roll around.
Our rule about that has always just sort of been to try to find the other word.
Yeah,
when
but
you're
I think the
about
best
rubbing
word
blood
is,
on tits and fucking.
Yeah, it's probably the best.
That
way.
Is the right word.
That's really the right word because there's nothing. I mean, they're rutting. I guess you could say would be better, but and it's not the same thing. It's the passion is void when you say it that way. So we want to really express that this is a Valentine's Day film, That's what we're
doing. It was for us.
It's romantic. And look at the journey it took us on.
Look what happened to us.
Look what shape we're in today. So, yeah. I mean, yeah. And then we have like the one of the single moms who says she's going to get maids and move out. And they're going to live up on Park Avenue. And she gets brutally raped.
With a broomstick.
Well, but she, I mean, they did that in revenge because she did find her sewing scissors and stabbed a guy in the eye. So they get a broom. Look, again, if you're the type of person where you're like, I don't like violence, not for me, don't watch this.
It'd be an odd, it's probably odd that you're listening to us, but you might just want to hear us talk about things. That's fine.
You can hear us talk about it, but I'm not recommending it for you. Like, don't be upset.
This is a very, very violent movie. And in fact, Roberta Finlay kept saying on set, she kept saying more blood, more blood. She wanted blood. More.
She's so fun. Yes, it's very violent. Like, but the violence is also, sometimes I say, like, irreverent. It's so over the top. It's so extreme. You know what I mean? Like, when the gang, when we meet them and they're just hanging out in their little dirty basement, you know, the guy just, like, shoots a rat and then he stabs it and he starts licking it and biting it and they're trying to make Chula lick it and bite it. Like, it's just completely, you know.
It's utter mayhem and chaos.
Yeah. It's gratuitous. I mean, it's absolutely gratuitous, but it's not that annoying. Like, I am not opposed to gratuitous violence, but I also get bored with the films that the only thing they have to offer is the violence. And they're just like, this person blows up and this person dismembered. Like, you get to this point where you're just kind of numb to it.
You
and
see
bored.
So much, yeah.
Yeah, like, I feel like modern films will do that now when they're just like, just for gore hounds. Like, you know, I like gore just as much as the next guy, but come on. Like, I got to have something else going on. I got to have some, like, maniacal characters. I got to have some characters that are so... I need a sweet lady living with her mom, and she's really pregnant, and her mom's like, I hope you get married someday and have somebody raise your baby, and they're just so good that it hurts. And then I need those really, really bad characters to have boiling water thrown on them by the pregnant lady, or I need the pregnant lady to, like... you know, be running around in the rain, being chased by a violent offender with a knife, all that kind of stuff, you know?
And all these things do happen in Tenement.
Yeah.
And also adding to the feel of this movie is that it takes place on a day in August, so it's really hot. Everyone's sweating.
Yeah, you just think about this place without... It starts out with a really cool rap. Like, don't you think it was a really cool rap, Mike? That's kind of why I thought maybe Italians were around on set, because it's that type of rap that sounds like a European did it. I'm sorry. I see you shaking your head, but it's just my feeling.
I'm not shaking. No.
It's just how he felt. Now, it's...
I'm saying that there are no Italians. I mean, maybe there's Italian people of Italian descent on the
maybe,
movie.
Maybe. Like, second-gen Italians maybe here from the Bronx. So, but it just says the Bronx. The Bronx, August, 11:05 a.m. And then it keeps, like, giving you updates.
I love that.
So,
I always love
that. So essentially, the gang is arrested around 11:05 a.m. And at 4:18, the gang is out. You know what I mean? Like, that's all the time it takes. Somebody did say one of the things that I am always... intrigued when somebody says this in earnest in life, and that thing is when they say, you think you're hot shit because, you know, whatever, like, you think you're hot shit because you have a carpet in your apartment, you think you're hot shit because you have a mattress, like, you think you're hot shit because whatever, like, it's like, I love it when people say it in earnest, because it's just such a mean, nasty spirited thing to say to somebody. It's like, basically, you're just like, I resent you for having anything in life, and you don't deserve it, and I do. Like, that, you know what I mean? Like, the you think you're hot shit sentiment. And I think it was so perfect, because this crew really, like, embodied you think you're hot shit.
Yeah. And this definitely has that underground movie feel of everyone was really working together, and they were all on board for it and down for the violence and down for all the actors and everything. So it does lend to that feel of all these people. And basically this tenement was going to be remodeled or undergo construction.
Oh, so they could do some damage to it.
Yeah. And they were able to just take a couple floors of it.
I feel like there's a better word than tenement. Like, is a tenement? I should have.
No, that's
that
in my
up.
Mind. This is what a tenement is.
Like, is that a real thing yeah. even to this day? Let me look it up.
100%.
I'm gonna do it. Okay, well.
My mind is sort of a rundown building.
Well, see, I didn't even think, are tenements necessarily run down?
In my mind, they are. Like, when I hear that word, in my mind, they are.
Okay. Tenement. Oh, Lord, that's a tiny writing right there. And it just keeps moving. Okay, a room or a set of rooms forming a separate residence within a house or a block of apartments. A piece of land held by an owner. So just a tenement house is a place with different rooms for residents, and they're owned by a different owner. I guess it just has a different connotation in the U.S. But, yeah, tenement. It's an apartment building.
Yeah, and so I feel that...
I guess it's just the word they use in New York. Oh,
well, and this is the Bronx, and this is the 80s, yeah. And, you know, she was very clear that this is really... I mean, obviously, there's not a set... I mean, you know, we love Bronx yeah. Warriors. Like, all the movies set in the Bronx from this time...
It's like what it looked like.
It is what it looks yeah, like, and the great. Cops that were on the set... Or that are in the movie were actual cops to help guard them because wow. It was really like, you know, a yeah. raw area and there was really
no
actual
and there
gangs.
Was like
oh and one of the guys is an actual buildings. Gang member, the guy who kept talking about his gun, he yeah. was an actual gang member, so it mixes gang
yeah,
members and actual
like
actors
it. Yeah, he would the guy who had the piece yeah he was cool. I did like him. I'm glad to know that he was an actual gang member. The man who played Chaco, he has such a, like, no one had body hair. Did you notice that? Like, none of the men had body hair. I think that's highly unusual. What year was it?
Minimal. 85, I want to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, that's highly unusual for that time. And I didn't see a hair on that Chaco. And he has, like, a beautiful, like, bone structure in his face. It's kind, he's kind of stunning. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's got an amazing presence.
Yeah, a wonderful presence. But like, just kind of pretty, you know, but very tough. So I thought Chaco was amazing in that way. I don't remember. I had an actual thought, and then I got distracted by talking about Chaco and his body hair. Chaco did cut a guy's dick off.
Yeah. So,
well, the guy tried to run away from the gang.
And nobody leaves Chaco.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of the residents do get pretty brutally murdered.
Oh,
so
I know what I was
there,
thinking.
There is,
yeah.
you know, it is not everyone gets out alive.
Well, I remember what I was thinking about. I was thinking about when we first... moved to Detroit, how different it was. It had this vibe where you would go to some blocks and there would be one place left standing and everything would be burned down or torn down and you never knew what was going on. You know what I mean? Like you could be in a totally normal neighborhood and you go one block over and it looked like a post-apocalyptic scene.
100%.
It was
no, 100%.
Unbelievable. Like, you know, I would drive down streets like people that I knew... when I was working downtown in Detroit, they would be like, don't drive down the street. Like they would tell me, I mean, I don't know if I'm sure I've told like on Home Time, the story of like the guy who pulled out a bow and arrow on me.
Tell it again. I don't know if you told that.
Oh yeah. I mean, okay. So there were these streets, side streets that it was a shortcut for me to get to the highway, but I could never walk down these streets. I had been told from people who lived in the neighborhood, Tara, you are not the type of person to drive down that street alone. Do not do it. You will definitely get assaulted. And I wanted to take a shortcut. And I knew that on this one particular street, there was this giant pothole. And this pothole, and I had a run-in before. And when I say pothole, I mean Detroit potholes are not like a normal pothole. This fucker was huge. And I didn't see it one day, and I clipped it. And I flattened my tire, right? And so I came back the next day and somebody had put an entire orange barrel into it. And the orange barrel probably stuck up 3 inches. Like, this wasn't a pothole. It was just like a giant ass hole, right? In the middle of the street. And so this is winter. It's cold. The streets are not plowed. I'm going down the giant ass hole street. And this man steps in front of my car. Wearing all silver, like silver. And he steps in front of me and pulls out a giant ass bow and arrow, like a silver arrow. I've been to Ren Faire. I've never seen it look like metal. And he draws his bow like at me. And I was like, shit. And then it's him in front of my car and the giant hole. So I hit the pothole. I went to the pothole and I swerved around him and I drove as fast as I could and got on the highway with a flat tire because it popped my tire. Remember how many times we had to replace the tires?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So that was the Robin Hood. Yes. And it was very weird. It was
definitely
very weird.
Would be fitting in
and
this
everybody
movie.
Was like, oh, yeah.
Definitely would be part
he was referred
of
to in the area as Black Robin Hood. And it was so strange. And I it would be totally normal to have that in this film. But what a weird situation that was in Detroit at the time. I'm sure everything has kind of grown up and is lovely now. And everybody's paying like
I'm sure
$300,000 for a condo
I'm
there.
Sure.
But at the time
sure
when I was
fantastic.
There, it was some shit. Like I knew people that got abducted and held up at gunpoint and all that type of thing. But holy crap, that area was wild.
But definitely this is that kind of area the Bronx was, especially in this time. And, you know, I do love the movie set in this area in this time in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Just that raw, gritty, grimy nastiness to it.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. And I like that Roberta Findlay is like, I'm pulling this from things in my life.
Yeah, she said
from
she basically
situation.
Grew up in a place like that. She said she, the you know, so much of it was pretty, you know, very real. She, you know, the basement was similar to the basement that she lived in, the building that she lived in. It was rat infested.
But also thinking about that too, living in places like we lived in some, our first place in Michigan was pretty seedy. You know, it was kind of moving there sight unseen. It happens, but. Like, you would have those neighbors where all of a sudden, like, 50 people are living in one apartment, right?
Yes.
You would just be like, oh, shit, I think I'm living above a meth den now, which we actually did live above. They were busted and arrested. And but, like, it's just, like, one day everything's normal, and the next day there's, like,
you're just like, oh,
dozens
fuck.
Of people hanging around at all times and, like, talking to you and asking for things. And, oh, my God, it was wild.
But yeah, so I love the structure of this movie, and I love that it continues up the floors. So it's like first floor this time, second floor this time.
And they're kind of like standing there.
And
ground.
I love, and it's important to talk about the retaliation and the defense that the residents put up, Tara.
Yeah, it was like they, yes, making a wall with the refrigerator, with the furniture. The one man who's an electrician setting up a trap, Home Alone style, where he wires a bed frame for electricity. And so when they grabbed it to move out of the way to get to them, they electrocuted themselves and cooked himself. And, like, you know, things of that nature. It's so, like, that's the, like, satisfying thing when you think the residents have a chance. But I thought the interesting part about this, as opposed to other movies, are that of this nature is that the men tended to get picked off first to, like, in the end, you're left with a bunch. I don't want to spoil this for everybody, but
I mean, I think it's fine.
Like, usually the elderly people die, right?
Yeah, but
in this one, somehow they manage to keep saving the elderly woman who has, like, a death wish and is trying to, like, hit everybody in the balls with a baseball bat.
Yeah, the final people in this movie.
The children, the pregnant woman, and the elderly.
Exactly. And that, well, and then, you know, the main guy, Washington, who is sort of leading up the resistance, he may or may not make it.
The electrician.
The end.
I really liked him a lot. I mean, actually, he may or may not make it regardless because, I mean, he did sustain a lot of damage. You know what I mean? A lot of hit points.
Yeah.
A lot of hit points.
But yeah, all the deaths are really brutal. All the ways that they are depicting the chaos feels very out of control. The drug use.
Oh, and then when Chula wrote dead pigs on the wall in lipstick, like that whole, like,
because
they use kind of like a cultish, like Manson type of mind control thing going on. And the,
there's a little bit of that. And I love the way the camera looks. A lot of times it's handheld, so it has that almost documentary feel to it where everything does feel real.
Mm-hmm.
I love the way it looks.
And again, you could tell kind of with the that she has done erotic films because the way they film the close-up shots, like when they're in bed and the violence, like getting in on the action, like definitely those shots on the bed and up close shots handheld were so similar.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
I love this film.
Really love it. Yeah. It was great. I'm really excited. I'm glad you loved it. I had a really good feeling you would. I mean, I guess if you didn't.
I'm trying to look, be weird.
Yeah, what else do you have? You anything else?
Yeah, just the scene of everybody walking out of the building into the, like, into the night at the end, which is like nobody wins. You know what I mean? Even though you like survive something, it's like still awful.
Yeah, exactly. You still have to live with that whole. Yeah, well, yeah, like the end of so
your
many.
Your building is destroyed. All these people are dead. You have nothing.
Participated in murder. You saw people get murdered.
It's awful. Everybody loses. It's one of those. Again, that's why I said it's so bleak and violent. But again, I think that there's something satisfying about watching those like really desolate, bleak films. Like there's something cathartic about it, and there's something that. It's like you sometimes life feels that way, and to watch
sure does.
And to watch that happen, you're just kind of satisfied by it. You're like, yep, that's how I, yep, that seems right. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, yeah, that's how,
like, that's
how
I,
it, it'd be like
I
that
felt
sometimes.
The day before, and that's how I feel today for different reasons.
Oh,
my insides feel that way.
I feel a little nauseated right now, as we've been talking, but I think it's because I was trying to drink coffee. But I wanted to drink a little coffee so I didn't get a caffeine headache. But eating cookies and then drinking coffee, I do feel like I'm probably going to puke.
Well, you know what? I think that's a good time to call it a wraps on episode 2 of Underground Espionage, Tenement. Fantastic. Next week, Roommates. So
yes.
Really excited to talk about Roommates. We're going to do a full. We got a lot of good stuff to talk about with that. A movie that really affected us watching it recently. So Next week, Roommates. Till then, watch Tenement, watch Roommates. We will talk to you next week.